Well, if you would do this before you're seated, turn to someone and say, if you really knew who I am, you'd give me $50 before you leave tonight. How many of you are going to walk out of here with $50 at least? Once again, it's such an honor to be back at our home church. Raymond Bible Church has such a special place in our heart, in our family. And we're so grateful to the Lord for so many friends, relationships that we have here. Really, no words can express the gratefulness that we have in our hearts to the Hagen family. It's here where God sent us to learn the message of faith, authority of the believer, how to be led by the Spirit. And I don't know if he's watching, but would you just join me and applaud the Hagens just for their sacrifice? It's such a blessing to be a part of this church. Well, before I start, let me start with a joke. The secretary of the church receives a phone call, and the gentleman on the other end says, I want to speak to the head hog at the trough. She goes, I'm sorry, sir, but if you're referring to our pastor, we do not speak about our pastor in that manner. We treat him with utter respect. So what is it that I can do for you? And he says, well, I want to give $100,000 to the church. She says, hang on a second, let me go get Porky for you. I am, as with any opportunity I have to come back to this church, fully aware of so many great men and women who have come before me and ministered here at Rhema. And it's always with such great honor that I share this pulpit with them. I'm proof that God can do anything with anyone if you're available to him. How many of you can say amen? Amen. I was born and raised in British Columbia, Canada, came here and was trained in the United States of America, and now I serve the wonderful and most noble people in Mexico. I tell people I'm Canadian by blood, I'm American by choice, but I'm Mexican at heart. And I don't know if habrán algunos mexicanos, habrán algunos hispanos aquí esta noche. Les mando un saludo de parte de nuestra iglesia en Rhema, México. Mucho gusto. Están en su casa. Muchas gracias por venir. I just got to greet my Mexican friends and Hispanic friends because we're so blessed to serve so many wonderful people in this nation of Mexico where we live and serve and raised our children, and we're so grateful for them. I just want to make you aware of one thing that we do in this lobby, which I believe is the West Lobby, have a product table. We do have lots of product out there, both in English and in Spanish. My wife has lots of great CDs. She speaks all over the country. I know she has spoken here many times. She has great CDs out there, along with USBs. Probably one of the most powerful missions book I've ever read. A great mentor to me. He'll turn 93 at the end of this month. He served in Mexico over 68 years. One of the greatest missionary books I've ever read, Living Beyond the Possible, by my friend, Brother Wayne Myers. I've got some Spanish CDs and teaching out there. And any of the USBs that we have in English and or Spanish, okay? If you buy any USB tonight, we're going to throw in Jambalaya for the Soul. And that's a great, I mean, this book in and of itself, I think, is about a $15 book. And so that's almost, you're getting the CB or the USBs free. And then how many of you have heard my testimony on how God supernaturally gave me the Spanish language without ever attending any formal language school in a month and a half when I was living in Guatemala? God supernaturally downloaded the language to me, and I began to teach in the school. It's as comfortable for me to minister in Spanish as it is in English. And a few years ago, I wrote a book called Supernatural Acceleration. And it really just shares that testimony. But also, if you're interested and want to accelerate anything in your life, those principles work, whether it's learning a language, whether it's starting up a business, or whatever it is. And I really have it on my heart tonight that if you want that book, I have maybe two boxes out there, a couple hundred, but if you want that book, you come by our table, and I'll give you that book tonight, okay? It's first come, first serve. And so that book is available to you. And we have a video just to kind of get an idea of what we do in Mexico. We're there now almost 20 years. And so, guys, if you want to run that video. Dios es Jehová Jireh, el que provee. Aleluya. Can you freeze it right there for a second, guys? I want to introduce my family because we're so proud of them. Guys, just come up here and just real quick. I just want to introduce you all to my family. This is on my, I'll start over here. Our son-in-law, Joshua, our oldest daughter, Hannah, about, I guess, a couple years ago, they started a work in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and they're just doing an amazing job. Started a church there and just going gangbusters. And they have given us the two most beautiful grandchildren this world has ever seen. As a matter of fact, Sophia is about a year and a half, and Judah is, a month old. We just got to meet Judah yesterday. So we were just so excited, and they are absolutely beautiful kids. And so we love you guys that are doing a wonderful job. And we're just so proud of them. Tiffany, well, Hannah graduated from Oral Roberts University. I know you, this church really had a big part to play in supporting them through their education in Mexico. And I just wanted to brag on them a little bit because they're doing really good. More than anything else, they love God. But they, all of them graduated from ORU with a communications degree. Tiffany graduated with a journalism degree. And now she's currently going to be a second-year student here at Raymond Bible Training Center and working like three jobs, so working super hard. Matthew is a redshirt junior at ORU, and he's actually the captain of the soccer team, doing 3 days this week, if you can imagine, in the heat. But he's got he's going to graduate this next year with a business administration degree and then take his MBA the following year, his final year of playing soccer. So we're so proud of our kids. We love you guys. Thank you, guys. So they didn't want to come up here, but I told them. Of course, my wife of 26 years, and we met here. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen introduced us. We've been married now for 26 years. And this is the love of my life, and I'm just so proud of her. She's a great preacher, a great mother, great grandmother. I know she doesn't look like a grandmother, but
no, great-grandmother's over there.
She's actually a 2-time Granny Award winner. And so would you give her a big hand? Thank you. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to start in verse 24. How many of you are believing this evening for a word from God?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I learned many, many years ago here at Rhema, really it's not what I say, but it's what the Holy Ghost says to you about what I say. And that's how the Holy Ghost moves. Even in a message that might not necessarily be reaching out to your specific need, the Holy Ghost can give you that word, that Rhema word. He can speak a word in due season. And I believe every single one of you tonight can leave here refreshed, encouraged, and know that God has spoken to you. How many of you would agree with me with that and pray with me? Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name that your word is true, powerful, almighty. It pierces to the dividing asunder. And we just thank you in Jesus' name that not one individual will leave the same here tonight as they came in Jesus' name. Amen. Two words that God gave me for this message is finish strong. Finish strong. Before we read Acts chapter 20, it's interesting to note that Paul, in his third missionary journey on his way to Jerusalem, traveled through the coast of Asia Minor, ministering to the saints along the way. Now, no one knew opposition, no one knew persecution better than the Apostle Paul. He is one of my heroes. He said this, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. This man, the Apostle Paul, had so much courage and tenacity that no man, no trial, no storm, no temptation, and no devil was going to stop him from finishing his race. That ought to be encouraging to each and every one of us. That no matter what the storm, trial, temptation, if the Apostle Paul could make it through, we can make it through. And he said in verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course." And notice he says, "With joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now write this down. People do not rise to success without having an attitude of a conqueror. I said, you just do not rise to success without having an attitude of a conqueror. Have you ever gone through a drought time in your life, a hard time, perhaps a storm, a disappointment, a broken relationship, perhaps a divorce? Have you ever been fired? Maybe you've gone through a death of a close family member. Well, I have good news for you tonight. You're still here. I said, if you've gone through those things and you're listening tonight, the good news is, hey, you're still here. You made it. At least there was something in you. Maybe it wasn't much of an attitude, but there was something in you that still caused you to go through and make it to the other side. And I think if I do anything tonight, maybe I'm here just to rekindle that attitude, the attitude of a conqueror. And one of the things I've learned is that the task ahead of you is never greater than the force behind you. No matter what you might be facing, that is never greater than the force that is behind you, the force of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me start off with a question. How would you like history to remember you? How you started or how you finished? I think in finishing strong, three things, simple things the Lord gave me. And number one is that we can never forget disappointments, trials, and even persecution come to all of us. It's true. We all live in the same world where there's disappointments, trials, and persecution. But the key in overcoming those is understanding why they come and how we get the victory really depends on why. Why do they come? And here's what I came to understand. You know, we all have the same enemy. We all have the same devil. But what is he really after? Is he after your family? Is he after your finances? Is he after your security? Is he after? What is it that he's really after? You see, a lot of people think, well, the devil's attacking my health, or the devil's attacking my job or my family, etc., etc. But the truth of the matter is that the devil is really not as much after your family as he is after one thing, your trust in the living God, your faith, confianza, in God Almighty. Can you say amen? And his focus really is in debilitating that trust in God. Now, if you have a bill, any bill, take it out with me real quick. Take a bill, a 1, 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever it might be. I don't know, 15, but take a bill out. On every single one of the bills, you will see something that has been there for quite some time. Matter of fact, 1956. And it says, "In God we trust." "In God we trust" was adopted as the official motto of the United States of America in 1956. And it actually appeared on U.S. coins all the way back to 1864. I found this. There was a Reverend M.R. Wilkinson. He wrote a letter to the Secretary of Treasury, Salmon P. Chase, And as a result of that letter, the Secretary Chase instructed James Pollock, the director of the Mint at Philadelphia, to prepare a model in a letter that was dated November 20th, 1861. And it said this, "Dear sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in His defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins. You will cause a device to be prepared without unnecessary delay with a motto expressing in the fewest and tersest words possible this national recognition." You know, it's so interesting that we live in a day where many of the insiders in Washington are doing everything that they can to take out those words, "In God we trust," something that's been our national motto since 1956. They don't want it on our currency. They don't want it on our churches. They don't want it anywhere, because they want to remove God, or they want to remove our trust in God as our national motto. And yet that's the very thing that'll take us through any storm, any trial. It's knowing that in God I trust. Great faith, remember this, comes out of great battles. Understand what the devil wants. He wants to shake our faith, our trust in Almighty God. And no matter what comes our way, and things do happen, storms, trials, temptations do come. Okay? But remember, what is he after? He wants to shake our trust in the living God. Our motto needs to stand stronger than it ever has before. In my God, I trust. Tell your neighbor, in God, I trust. Amen. We had a family that came to our church just a couple years ago. And this was the first time they were hearing the message of faith, and they were so excited about understanding how faith works and the authority of the believer. And just a couple months passed by, and they came to me and they said, "You know, Pastor, we're so excited about this new message and what God's doing in our life." But all of a sudden, about 3 months after we've been here, we've just noticed that, you know, we've had some struggles. I mean, there's some financial struggles right now in our life, and we just really don't understand it. Why is it that this is so exciting, that why are we having these struggles? And I had to explain to them, listen, that's exactly what the devil wants to do. When you start learning faith, he wants to attack that faith, that trust that you have in God. He's not really after the finances as much as he is to debilitate your faith and your trust in the living God. So understand that when the attack comes, when the trial comes, you got to hunker down and start just saying with your mouth, "I believe God. Amen. I believe God. I trust God. I'm going to make it to the other side." Amen. So when disappointment comes, say it one more time. My motto is, I trust in God. Number two, in order to finish strong, understand this, that perseverance always outlasts persecution. Perseverance will always outlast persecution. Persecute, one definition is to badger, to bother, or to discourage. Have you ever been bothered by something, perhaps badgered by something, discouraged by something? You know the old saying, the old adage, when the going gets tough, the tough get? I remember a few years ago, and sometimes it's not necessarily the big things that the devil uses to try and discourage us. Sometimes it's just the little things along the way, but he'll throw these things at us just to kind of discourage us and just to try and badger us and just to try and bother us to see if he can shake our faith and shake our trust in God. And when I first went to the mission field, I'd finished my first year of Rhema in 1980 and made a decision to spend 2 years in Guatemala. And that's where God supernaturally gave me the language, and two wonderful, wonderful years. And I remember about the second year into living in Guatemala, I lived in Quetzaltenango, Guatemala. I remember one night, the family that I was living with had been traveling back to the States, and they lived kind of outside the town in a little cul-de-sac area there. And so I was at home alone. And I'd come home late from a meeting that night. And when I walked into the house, I noticed, first of all, that all the lights were off. And I almost always leave a light on. But this particular night, it was late. I would come from a meeting. And as I opened the door, It's just all of a sudden, it's like, have you ever had a situation where when you walked into a room or walked into a setting, you just knew something wasn't right? Have you ever had something like that? This is one of those times when I walked into the house, I just knew immediately that something was wrong. And it was almost like this spirit of fear would want to come on me. And I noticed as I started turning on the lights, there was this cold breeze coming into the house. And I looked and I could see through where the kitchen was. We had an outside patio door there to an open field. And I noticed that all the doors were open. And as I walked into the kitchen, I could see different appliances that were strewn all over the floor. And I even saw a sewing machine in the backyard. And I immediately realized we're being robbed. Somebody is in this house, and I happen to just walk in when they're here. And right about that time, the first thing I thought of was, where's my machete? Maybe not the most spiritual thing in the world, but I got my machete. And I grabbed that machete, and I began to go room by room and turning on every light. And I went upstairs where all the bedrooms were, went into the first bedroom, turned on the light, looked around, nobody there. Went to the second bedroom, same thing, turned the light on, no one there. I got to the last bedroom, and as I opened the door, I could see the closet that was in the corner, and the door was a little bit ajar. And all of a sudden, my heart began to race. And as I came closer to that door, and I realized something inside of me was saying, somebody's there. And as soon as I reached over and I touched that door, and bam! Sorry, but I just love doing that. I don't know why, but just for some reason, I just nobody was there. The house was completely empty. I figured what happened was when I walked in that evening, I walked in singing. I was happy. We just come from a meeting, had people saved. And whoever was in that house was actually more afraid of me than I was of them. And that's what a lot of times I think this is how we need to understand where the devil is compared to our authority in Christ. Because the bottom line is, for a lot of people, their God is a little God and their devil is a big devil. But I'm telling you, our God is a big God. The devil is a little devil. And matter of fact, whatever they heard when I walked in, they were so afraid they dropped everything they had and hightailed it outside the back door, and we never saw them again. But how many of you know I still had to sleep there that night? With my machete right by my side. And you know, the devil would like to use little things like this to discourage us and bother us and be, yeah, well, it's not very safe. You know, how many times do we have people, when we mention the fact that we live in Mexico, we've been there now almost 20 years. Oh, brother, we're praying for you, brother. Yeah, because they hear all this news and almost all of it's bad news, okay? But I tell people all the time, listen, okay, there's bad stuff that goes on in Mexico. We're fully aware of the cartel. Okay, El Chapo, the guy that just escaped, that's like just a few miles from our house where that prison is, okay? But I tell people all the time, listen, God has protected us now for nearly 20 years. I am safer in the most dangerous city in the world in God's perfect will than you are out of God's perfect will in the safest city in the world. Amen. Amen. And God has protected us. We raised our children there. Praise God. They're all safe. And that's just the protection of God. So perseverance will always outlast persecution. Amen. Notice Acts 20:24 again. But none of these things move me. Are you being moved by the bother, the badger, the discouragement, the persecution? You know, about 3 weeks ago, we took a missions trip, about 58 people, and towards the end of the video, you saw some of the things that we do. We take clothing and we take boxes of food. We take dentists and doctors and hairstylists and just go into these little villages and just to bless the people. Well, we went to a village called Huichapan Hidalgo, which is maybe about 2-3 hours from Mexico City. And we learned through one of our graduates, one of our affiliate churches, Ezequiel Cruz, who had a relative there that started this church nearly 70 years ago. 70 years ago, Huichapan Hidalgo was one of the most persecuted areas in all of Mexico. And his grandfather was the one that started this church in the midst of persecution. People were dying because they proclaimed Jesus as their Lord. As a matter of fact, his grandfather, he told us that his grandfather took a machete to the back of the head. Someone tried to kill him. They hated what he was doing, and yet he still persevered and still preached the gospel. One of his relatives was shot 6 times. Doctor didn't give him more than a week to live. They lived. Hallelujah. God healed them. And now today, this grandfather of Ezequiel now has over 20 churches in all of the Hidalgo area. Then most of them pastored through his relatives. Amen. That's what happens when you persevere. We live in a world where people so quickly want to give up. They want to just say, I quit. I can't go any further, whether it's a relationship, work, or whether it's God. I'm telling you, what we need to know is that if you will persevere, that will outlast any persecution. If you'll just have the la fuerza, o sea, ¿cómo se llama la fuerza? The tenacity just to hold on and say, pase lo que pase, cueste lo que cueste, whatever happens, I'm going to hold on and I'm going to go to the other side. I'm going to fulfill the call that God has on my life. Come on, people. It's time that we learn that, yes, persecution comes, trials come. Amen. But persevere. No matter what it is, I'm telling you, you can finish strong if you'll have an attitude of a conqueror and realize that you can do it. Amen. One of our Interlomas directors, one of our directors of our schools, we have 5 campuses, he told me the story about 1.5 years ago. He was down in Tepito, Mexico, making some purchase of CDs for the school. And it's not really the best area, but prices are really good for buying CDs and this type of thing. And so he was down there making some purchases. And as he turned the corner, there was 2 young men with knives. And they robbed him of his portafolio. His portafolio. What are you?
Briefcase.
Briefcase. And without thinking, as they took off, he began to follow them and chase after them. He said, "You're not taking my portafolio." Not you, them. Without thinking. And so he's running after these 2 thugs. And they turn a corner, he turns a corner. They turn another corner, he turns a corner. And as he turns, he wipes out flat on his face. And as he gets up, he realizes they're gone. He had all of his money, all of his documents, everything in that briefcase. So he starts walking back. And as he's walking back to his car, all of a sudden, right next to him, he hears this voice. And this voice says, "Todo va a estar bien." Everything is going to be okay. He keeps on walking. And all of a sudden, once again, he hears this voice. Everything is going to be okay. And he looks over and he sees this older gentleman who's walking with him. He's got a pleasant look on his face. And he looks at him and he says, "Everything is going to be okay." And Eve's is kind of looking at like this and going, "Well, who are you? And you don't know me. And, you know, this thing just happened to me." And as he looks over at him, he notices he was carrying his briefcase. And he hands him his briefcase and he says, "Everything is going to be okay." He talked with him for a couple minutes. And as he was walking, he turns over to look at him again. He never saw him again. I'm here to tell you, everything is going to be okay.
Amen.
Whatever you might be going through, everything is going to be okay. And let me finish with this. My time's almost out. Number 3, know why you are here. You have to know that you know that God has placed you here. And it's for the purpose of loving God and loving people. You know, when you love God and love people, your days just go faster. I mean, we look back, my wife and I, we go, wow, almost 20 years now we've been in Mexico. And I know we've got so many friends here, and they're still here over the years, and it's just amazing how fast time goes when you're doing what God's called you to do. You ask yourself this question: what do people need your talent can provide? You know, a lot of times I think we make choices based on fear and practicality instead of what we really have to give to someone. You know, what if Brother Hagin never printed a book because he was afraid he didn't have the money? A friend of mine, J.D. Henderson, several years ago was in Burma, way up in the mountains in Burma. And as he went into this hut where this pastor lived, he looked down and he saw The Authority of the Believer by Kenneth E. Hagin in the middle of nowhere. What talent, what gifting do you have somebody else might need? I wonder sometimes how many people fail at what they don't want. Write this down, and I'll finish up with this. The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Your influence. The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. The Apostle Paul finished strong because he knew how to overcome opposition. He persevered in the face of all obstacles, and he knew his mission. Remember, the anointing is always for someone else. 2 Timothy 1:12 says this: for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Overcoming disappointments, yes, it begins by trusting God with all of your heart. Persevering in the midst of any persecution, and loving God and loving people. Let me pray with you. If you are here this evening and you've gone through some struggles and you're just needing a boost, you know, I'm not one that really drinks this energy drinks, 5-hour. I think there's one called Boost. Is that, am I right? I've never drank that stuff for whatever reason. And I'm not against it if you do, but I just never have. But last year, I was at a friend of mine's place and went to the gym, and I ran for a couple miles, and then I wanted to lift weights. And they sold this stuff there, so I thought, man, I'm going to give it a try. I didn't realize it had like 280 grams of caffeine in it. So I drank a Boost. And I'm telling you, something just hit me, and I'm like looking for every single weight in the entire gym. I lift things up and I put them down. I turned into one of those lugs. You know, I just want to lift every weight in the whole building. Everything is wild, but I think sometimes the Holy Ghost wants to give us a boost. Amen, a spiritual boost that when we're struggling, we might be going through some things, and if that's you, and you've been going through some things, and you just need a spiritual boost, would you just stand to your feet? I want to pray for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. I believe the Holy Ghost wants to give you a spiritual boost. Amen. Pastor, would it be okay? I mean, I know we're... if I took time, and would you just come down here? And I want my wife to join me, and I want to just lay hands on you tonight. We won't take a lot of time, but I believe that as we've learned here, there is a transference of anointing to minister, just because there's so many that I know need a touch from God. And those of you that are watching, would you just stretch out your hand. Would you just believe with us as we pray for them? I'm going to pray a general prayer, and then we're just going to go down and just lay hands on you and just believe God for a supernatural boost of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That you will finish strong. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you that the Spirit of God this evening would impart to each and every individual a supernatural boost of energy. Hallelujah. Excitement, enthusiasm, spiritual strength that would just give them a different vision, that they, whatever they might be going through, will know that they know that they know that you're with them, that you have empowered them, that that authority that's on the inside of them is stronger than any task ahead of them, and that each and every one of them will leave here infused with a spiritual boost in their life. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Yes, in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Spiritual boost. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Fortaleza. En el nombre de Jesús. En el nombre de Jesús. In the name of Jesus, receive.
Let the power
supernatural,
of the Holy Ghost
supernatural boost in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In as a sick. Lift your hands. Father, we love you. It's all you. We give you all the glory, all the honor. It's you that give us strength. So we thank you in Jesus' name that we will finish strong. How many of you can say amen? Don't forget to go by and pick up one of these. It'll bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.